And fasting is one of the most important disciplines for the disciples when we follow Jesus. It's just one of those things that we're learning that the enemy tries to hinder us and to hinder us from understanding the benefits and the fruit of fasting, right? Because sometimes we hear fasting, we don't like that word. Or go without. Our flesh doesn't want to die. It enjoys being in charge. And I think through fasting, we're realizing really what holds a grip on our lives. What holds a grip on our flesh. And so I have, which one did I give Romans 8:13 to? Did you? No. Oh, the guy switched. So you got a longer one. Oh, really? Okay.
For all you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deed of the body, you will live.
Yeah. I think you got the longer one of the ones I gave you. I can't believe the boys did that to you. I can. So the Holy Spirit and our flesh are at conflict with one another. We would agree with that, right? And we see that in Galatians 5. Galatians 5 talks about how there's a battle. And the Holy Spirit that dwells inside each believer wants to live for God. We know that's true. We long to do what is right. And there's this battle that our flesh wants to do the opposite. Right? And so it's hostile to God. And so sometimes when we feed our flesh from the earthly things and its desires, it really has a grip on us. It really has this bondage. The spirit, the flesh really wants to live for our pleasures. Right? We could all contest to that. So the spirit wants to live for God and please God. So there's a war going on. So which one are we going to allow to win? Right? That's the question. I know I use this, you know, about cats because Harriet loves cats. And I don't like cats, right? And me either, right? So the flesh would be like a cat, self-centered, wants to all things for itself. And then the spirit's like a dog that's very loyal. He wants to do what the master wants. He wants to do and please the master. And so fasting reveals things that control us. So when we fast, some of our nastiest character traits are brought to the surface during our different portions of our fast. Have you noticed that? Through your fast? Different characteristics. Things that you're like, I can't believe. You know, fleshly lusts. Being irritable. Right? You'd be irritated by the most unthing that you would never think you're irritated by. Jealousy, fear of just some things that come to the forefront. And it's really showing you when our flesh is satisfied, those things kind of are hidden. But when we're dying to ourselves, these things are really being exposed, truly what's in our hearts. The ugliness, our lustfulness about me is being revealed. And we're like, Lord, I repent of that in my life. I repent of jealousy and being desiring what other people have or being jealous or forgive me for being irritated by this person. Right? It reveals really what's in our hearts. And the fast is all about our hearts. Right? It's like, Lord, I'm willing to die to this, prolong this for a time. Because I really want to get close to you. I really want to know you. And I want to trust you. And he's exposing these things so we lay those things at the foot of the cross and to die to those things, right? And so sometimes people will say something like this, fasting makes me irritable. No, fasting doesn't make you irritable. You're just irritable. That's a quote. Not for me. I was reading this one article and it was about fasting. It's like, you are irritable, right? You're a miserable person at times. And you sometimes we excuse it because I'm fasting. No, God is revealing your character. Sometimes we're irritable. Sometimes we're not very loving, very kind. I know the kids in Sunday school are learning about the fruit of the Spirit, right? Sometimes we don't show or live by the fruit of the Spirit. And we mask it by satisfying our flesh. Or, you know, bad fruit. So the fasting enables the Holy Spirit to reveal your true spiritual condition, resulting in brokenness, repentance, and a transformed life. So abiding in Christ. So many people struggle with living and experiencing the presence of God. God knows that the busyness of life and strategy of the devil will keep us from experiencing Christ. You know, even how many of us know that's true? We get so busy, so wrapped up, and we're like, where did my week go? And even during this week of fasting, you know, I've been finding it easier to get up in the morning and pray. I'm not hitting my snooze button like I was before. Like I would hit snooze for a half hour, right? But now it's not. I'm finding it easier, right? And so it's a transformation, what God's doing in my life, because I'm wanting to know more of it. I don't want to be lazy. I don't want to procrastinate. I don't want to put him off anymore. And so the fasting helps us put the Lord first and teaches us to pray in all areas of our life. Fasting clears the clutter from our lives and hinder us from experiencing God. You know, so from our lives that hinder. So what hinders you from growing with the Lord? Fasting and praying helps us eliminate things in our life that steal our focus away from the Lord. So imagine the blessing that the Lord has for you as he develops a greater hunger for him through fasting and prayer. So what would some of these experiences be? What would you think you'd experience from fasting and praying? So refreshing? How about refreshing? Do we start feeling refreshed? How about your mind? Is it more clear? Not foggy? You know, we get brain fog. You know, sometimes after you're pregnant, you have brain fog. I never have had that. My wife would say something different. Right? Maybe our prayer life has increased. Is our prayer life increasing? How about our dependence on the Lord? Is that increasing? Because we realize that it's not us, it's him. And he wants to bless us because he says, draw closer to me. He wants us to draw closer to him and to know him. So fasting can and help revive spiritual growth. Like almost like a revival in your own life. Sometimes we pray about revival. But where does the revival have to start? Within our own lives. Do we have a hunger and a thirst for God? Do we hunger and seek his kingdom, that his kingdom will come? Do we align ourselves to what the Word of God says? Like, do we hunger for this? And through fasting, so we see this. So Joel 2. Who did I get Joel 2 to? Oh, there you go, Mark. Joel 2 to 12 to 13.
Therefore also the mouth of the Lord, turning even to you with all your heart, and fast, and receive, and rend your heart, and not your garment, and turn unto
to rend your heart. That's one of the things, you know, you like, Lord, I'm giving my heart to you. It's always about the heart, but not, right? He really wants your heart. And so 2 Chronicles 7:14, you have that. Did I get that to someone? 2 Chronicles? What? I missed that? Okay. So if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. Isn't that part of the fasting is humbling ourselves before the Lord. And as we fast, he brings to mind maybe things that we haven't forgave somebody or repent, you know, to repent of. Because he wants us to repent. He wants that intimacy to grow so there is nothing hindering our relationship with him. Whenever the people of God come to a dull and complacent place, sometimes we get to a dull and complacent place. You want to be truthful, right? Sometimes our heart love for the Lord kind of grows dull, cold, and we get complacent with the Lord because we know that you can't lose your salvation. But we take him for granted. But he doesn't want us to take him for granted. He wants us to be doing his business. It's called each one of us to serve him with all our hearts, with all our minds. Right? We are called to serve him and say, Lord, I'm doing this out of love and admiration for you. I desire to do your will. I desire that you be glorified, to see your kingdom here. Right? To be a godly influence in schools and through all different, through the community, not just in the church, but in within the community, and seeing people come to know the Lord. And so fasting, sometimes we feel far away from the Lord. And I think fasting helps us to rekindle that love and that passion. Right? Because none of us want to be lukewarm. I don't think so. So the best thing we could do is fast and pray for our own spiritual vitality to be restored. Right? And we come alongside to one another, encourage one another in the Word of God, and to pray for one another. Because we don't do this walk, this journey by ourselves. We're here to encourage one another in the faith. And so that's, God never moves away from us. We have to remember that. God never moves away from us. We are the ones who drift away from him, and we get distracted with the cares of the world. So fasting can help us receive clear revelation and direction from God. So Acts 13:2. Yeah, I thought that was...
As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. Yeah.
We see corporate prayer and fasting, right? We see the church of Antioch in Acts 13:1-3 and Acts 14:21-23, as the people worshiped and fasted together collectively, right? One goal, one purpose, to seek the Lord for direction, what they should be doing. And essentially, this is what we are doing. Because I put on there, what's the verbicia? What's our, you know, really for our goals? Is to pray that there be a hunger in our lives, right? That our souls will be fattened, right? To pray for the lost in this community, for the church would grow, physically and spiritually growing. It's one thing, you know, you could have a massive church. I have friends with massive churches. But how many of those people love the Lord, A lot of times we go to church just to feel good that we went to church. Right? It's not about the number of people in the congregation. But what really matters is our heart. Do we desire to meet with the Lord on that day with other believers? To worship our Lord Jesus. Right? That's all that matters. It's not good. It doesn't matter how good the worship is. How good the preaching is. But it's like, Lord, I really want to get together with people that are like-minded and come alongside them. And so as we learn, right? So over the next few weeks, as we fast and pray collectively as a church, as a body, be expecting that God will speak clearly into your life. And then also in this church season. Because God does answer prayers. So fasting can help us free people from spiritual bondage. Spirit, you know, there's a spiritual bondages. We know what bondages are, don't we? And so in Mark 28:29, we're not read it, but Jesus just had left the Mount to transfer, and found his disciples frustrated because they could not what? Cast out a demon in a boy. The father brought his son to the disciples so they could pray and cast out this demon. And Jesus came back, and what did he say? Because later on they asked Jesus, why couldn't we do what you did? Right? And Jesus replied, this could only be cast out by prayer and fasting. So sometimes when we are battling with certain things in our lives, only through prayer and fasting will it be broken or be able to come out. Right? We can repent. But through prayer and fasting, because we're denying ourselves our flesh, because it has a stronghold. We need to repent of maybe things in our lives. It could be generational things having a hold on us. It could be something that you're into right now that has a hold on you. And so I believe God wants us to be ready to pray for people in order that he can set them free from all sorts of spiritual bondages, especially the days that we are living in, if people are practicing old cult practices even right now. We see New Age, people are saying, well, we'll just add, well, yoga is one. Yoga is a Buddha religion. The poses are Buddha gods. It's a mind game, even horoscopes. Reading things that are very harmless, we think, but that opens the door to Satan. It opens up an avenue into your life, even fortune cookies. Right? I had an interesting discussion about this. It might seem harmless. You might joke about it, but it's still a little bit of a fortune cookie. That's why I call it a fortune cookie. Right? Do we take those things seriously? We might think, well, that's nothing. It's harmless. But look how Satan deceived Eve. She spent time with the Lord. Her and Adam spent time with the Lord daily. And yet Eve was deceived. You see how easily we, the church, could be deceived? So easily being deceived. If Eve could be deceived and do what Satan said, what's stopping us not from being deceived? So prayer and fasting, we need God's wisdom. We need to know, Lord, just pray for conviction. Ask the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, reveal in my life anything that I am compromising my walk with you today. bring a great conviction in my heart. Make my heart, my soul, so sensitive to your leading that I will know into right away. Right? Sometimes we push the Holy Spirit off to the side and we ignore him. He's there to help us and guide us. He wants to teach us. He wants to show things that are, if it's music that we're listening to, certain music is not godly music. TV programs, right? Might seem harmless, but they dull our minds. So, fasting is a spiritual weapon that God expects us to use. We're really in a spiritual battle. And spiritual battles require spiritual weapons. What's Ephesians 6:10 says? Ephesians 6:10. You want to read out loud? It's interaction. No. Sorry, 6:12. That's it. That's what we're battled against every single day. And sometimes we wonder why we're so tired and weary. We're battling against spiritual things that we do not see. Without prayer and fasting, prayer is so essential to every person's life. Fasting is another discipline that we are asked to be doing, right? So fasting can loose the demonic powers over a situation. So in Daniel 10, remember in Daniel 10, Daniel was praying for 21 days, right? He prayed and fasted. He wept, repented, seeking the Lord. And after 21 days, did God answer his prayer? Day 24. 3 days after his prayer, the angel came and gave him an answer. So who has Daniel? Did I get that? Okay.
In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning 3 weeks. I ate no pleasant food, no meat or wine came into my mouth, nor did I anoint myself at all, till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled.
Oh, I thought I put more in there. It was a day 24 that the angel came to him and gave him the answer to his what he was seeking. So how often do we seek God and don't get an immediate answer? Right? So this is what it's trying to teach us. Don't give up in prayer. You don't know what's happening. You don't know the battle right now that's happening. And so sometimes we often quit praying because we don't see immediate, quick answers to our prayers. Are we desiring to seek the Lord and say, Lord, I'm going to keep praying for this person or to whatever situation is until I get an answer from you, or that you tell me to stop praying for this answer? Right? We keep on praying. Daniel didn't know that there was a spiritual battle going on. He didn't know that. The angel came and told him that he was battling. He had to even get the archangel Michael to come and help battle against the demonic forces. So here we are. There's a spiritual battle. And sometimes as believers, sometimes it's hard to believe there is a spiritual battle going on because we don't see it. Some people think it's a bunch of garbage. But we see that happening in our daily lives when people lash out at us. Right? There's a scripture that talks about people's, like when people around you, some people who are perishing, they might detest you, and those others that will draw closer to you because they realize that you're saved. There's a scripture, I can't remember it, really butchering it. Okay? Second Peter. But it's talking about how there's a battle, even with people around you who will react differently. People who are demon-possessed, believers cannot be demon-possessed. Only oppressed. Right? We'll get that clear. When people are non-believers or have demonic spirits living in them, they're going to react to you because of who lives in you. The Holy Spirit lives within you. So the demons are going to react differently when they come up. You want to read that loud? Or John can read it, or it doesn't matter. That's okay, it's good. No, that's good. There's a different scripture. It talks about how those who are perishing, we smell like death to them. That's how it goes. I'm just trying to think of it. I think it might be in 1 Corinthians. But it talks about how we smell like death to them who are perishing. Right? Yeah, and then there's another. Then it talks about how then those who are being saved, we smell like a free, like a beautiful fragrance. That's the scripture, and I can't think of the address, but sometimes there's things that we don't see what's happening. People react. Right? So we have to be aware. There is a spiritual battle. I got sidetracked. But we just have to be aware there is a spiritual battle going on in this life. The devil wants, he has dominions that try to, they know your habits. They watch you. They know your weaknesses. They're trying to tempt you. They're trying to bring you into sin. Temptation is not sin, but acting on the temptation is sin. You just have to be aware of what we're doing. Right? Because there is a battle for your mind and your soul. So as this fasting really draws us closer to the Lord, and those sinful desires at times will fade away because we're truly seeking the Lord and desiring Him. And He's truly setting us free from those bondages in our lives that are holding on to us. Because He doesn't want His people to be caught up in bondage. He doesn't want them to be burdened down and always being ashamed. Right? Sometimes when we sin, we feel really ashamed after. It's remorse. Because we know that what we did was wrong. But the time before we went into the sin, we were like, well, this feels really good to what? My flesh. My flesh really loves it. Of course it feels good because the flesh is being fed. And the soul, your spirit is grieved because it's like, look what you did. You were disobedient to your Lord. But the amazing thing is God says, if you confess your sins to Him and you repent of them, He chooses not to remember them any longer, but turn away from them. So there's healing and restoration. So 2 Corinthians 4:4, well, the hearts of people are the battleground where the enemy seeks to keep people locked up in darkness. Do you know how many of our friends and family who are non-believers that are locked up in darkness? They're blinded. They can't see. Right? They can't see the Lord. Can't see His Word. Even though sometimes we share the Word of God. So 2 Corinthians 4:4, who has that one? Okay.
The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God.
So it's Satan that blinds people. Satan rules this world still today. He has dominion on earth today. Okay. That's the one about the... Sorry, we're really going off the rails. That's the one. Thank you. Yeah. See, that's a spiritual thing. We don't sometimes recognize that. We don't think of that. Because we're always thinking about the physical. And sometimes we can go way on the left, right side of the one side and go way off to the other side. But it's like we stay in the middle. Right? But we have to be aware of these things. Right? So when we pray for family members, go back to 2 Corinthians 4:4. So the God of this age is blinding the people who are non-believers, hindering their eyes and their hearts just not to see the truth of the gospel. So how do we pray? Well, Lord, I pray for this individual, Lord, that you would take the blindness off their eyes, of their heart. Lord, what the Satan has tried to blind them from, that you reveal your light to them, you reveal your truth to them, Lord, that they receive the truth of the gospel and the clarity without any hindrance. Lord, soften their hearts. Lord, help them to see the truth of the gospel. Right? We have, when we walk in the authority that Christ has given us, when we are walking according to the Word of God, we can pray this prayer. And break things, pray against them, and God breaks them. He breaks it off of their lives. And we could come in agreement and say, Lord, I'm praying against this, against my parents, aunts or uncles. I'm praying against this. The one thing is, my aunt, who I dearly love, she's why I know about yoga. Yoga is a cult. It's a religion. And it's Buddhist stuff because it's a theory, like different levels, and she's never satisfied. And I'm always praying, Lord, that you would open up her eyes to the truth of the gospel, that she would know the truth, and that your truth would set her free, that even through yoga and Buddha and all this meditation would not satisfy her at all. And Lord, that during this time that you would reveal your life to her, that she would repent. Right? It's just knowing the authority that we are given when we walk in obedience to Christ. That we could pray these prayers and expecting God would break these things in people's lives. Yet she doesn't know that she's in bondage. Is that right? People don't know when they're in bondage. Sometimes when we are in bondage, in sin bondage. We're being deceived. We don't know that we're being deceived. Because if we knew that we were deceived, we wouldn't really be deceived. Right? So how many times have we been deceived? And how often has other brothers and sisters come alongside of us and say, you know what? I think you're being deceived right now at this moment. There's a spiritual aspect behind all of this. There's something blinding us from seeing the truth. Right? And sometimes God doesn't reveal everything to us at all at that moment either. Right? So, but sometimes when there's something in our lives that we're being blinded from, ask the Lord, am I being deceived in this moment? So fasting can help us navigate the journey ahead with confidence. In Ezra 8:21-23, did I give that to somebody? He answered our prayer. No, Ahava is, it means to give. So at the river where they started the fast, there's a river, Ahava. Ahava means to give. So how appropriate is that when they start our fast, they are what? Giving themselves to God, seeking God's direction and for an answer for his guidance. So corporate prayer and fasting that Ezra undertook with his people, helped them navigate the journey ahead with confidence. This action would have been a testimony for future generations. It's not just about us. It's us seeking the Lord and our children seeing how we are seeking the Lord and trusting the Lord. What are we teaching our children when we fast and pray? Right? When we fast and pray, when we read the Word of God, we're teaching our children how much the Lord really means to us. It's amazing what we teach our kids without saying a single word. Right? It's amazing. And it's terrifying at times. We've got these little people watching us and saying, well, mom and dad don't do this, right? So as we continue this period of fasting and praying like Ezra, we want God to help us navigate our journey ahead of us with confidence, not only for us, but the next generation will come. Because we want to instill and teach our children the future, how, you know, I don't know the day the Lord's going to come. But one thing he's asked us is to be obedient, to trust him, adhere to him, and be mentors. Teach our children to follow and fear him, right? Fasting here is a powerful statement that Jesus says, I want, this should be our prayer for to Jesus, say, I want you more than anything, more than my food. Right? Sometimes when we eat too many appetizers, we go to the main course. We don't really like the main course because we're already full on appetizers. And Jesus is the main course. As we fast, we're realizing what we've been tasting too much of, rather than on the Lord. So I want, you are more important to me than these things. This is really what we're saying when we're fasting. You're really more important than anything else. And I really desire to grow deeper with you. I really want to know your heart. I really want to hear your voice. I really want to spend time with you. And I really desire you. I really want things in my life to be really in unity with you. Sometimes we're way off doing our own thing. I want to finish with you, Colossians 2. Colossians 2. And this is really my heart and really why we're doing the fast. I don't have it up there. So Colossians 2. 2. Right? It says that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love and attaining to all riches of the full assurance of understanding to the knowledge and the mystery of God, both of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hidden all treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And that's my heart of just really why to be fasting, to really to know Him and to be encouraged, to seek Him and desire Him. And a desire to see the kingdom of God to be really manifested in this town. I really desire to see people coming to know Christ. I think we all have people that we've been praying for to know the Lord. My encouragement is not to give up. I know before I became a believer, it was 4 years before they stopped praying for me. Right? This testimony of other people. How many of us know we've been praying for certain people? And one would say, your goose isn't cooked yet. John. Right? So Father, we thank you for your word. And Lord, as we continue to be fasting and seeking you, Lord, I pray that you stir in us, Lord, a desire, deeper desire for you. To really put off things that are hindering us from seeing you and to adhering to you. And Lord, I pray that this week, Lord, we would take captive every thought that would set itself up against the knowledge of you. Lord, we pray for your, we put on the full armor of God, that put on the helmet of salvation, Lord, that we would continue to read your word. And as we read your word, Lord, that your word would illuminate from the pages. And Lord, that we would be saying, yes, Lord, here I am. Use me for your glory, for your glory, for your kingdom. Lord, we just want you to be glorified in our lives. And we pray for the lost in town of Black Falls. We pray, Father, that you would move in this town. Lord, that you would open up people's eyes from the truth to the truth. So, Lord, where they are being deceived, Lord, they would see the truth. And Lord, wherever areas in our own lives we're being deceived, Lord, that you would reveal that to us. I ask this in Jesus' name.
I've been doing the devotional, the fasting devotional that Pastor Kyle handed out in the little booklet, and I'm not as far into the devotional as I am into the fasting, but Daniel, we were encouraged.